today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Before we get on with the big one, I'd like to take this opportunity to level, you might say.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Rocking the Suburbs podcast. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode of our show. Today, we're going to revisit something we haven't done in a bit, but have done in the past, and that's going to be to add another entry, another chapter into our series entitled What Was First, where we look at the first release on important, influential, or just record labels that we enjoy. So before we dive into that, I want to remind you of a couple quick things here. If you are going to participate in November 2022 new music, records that came out or songs that came out in November, we want you to get those in by this weekend, Saturday, December 3rd, if you could. We'll try to get some of those going here in the next couple weeks. And of course, we will spend January going over your favorite albums and songs of the year 2022. So get those lists going as well if you haven't already. Also want to point you over to Suburbs Pod because we've got a poll up for holiday songs right now. We are looking for another batch of 10 holiday songs to add to your holiday collection. And we're going to have a recording on December 11th where everybody can join in and discuss their picks. So I want you to do that as well. All right, today on What Was First, we're going to take a look at the history of Reprise Records. This is a really interesting story, and this is a big, big label, okay? I know we've done some indies in the past, but this is a big one, and I'll just throw out a few names that I jotted down that recorded on this label, okay? Captain Beefheart, Jimi Hendrix Experience, Chaka Khan, Duke Ellington, Eric Clapton, Frank Zappa, Graham Parsons, Heart, L7, Lenny Bruce, Neil Young, Rick James, Ry Cooder, T-Rex, and the Beach Boys, among others. And one reason that all those artists ended up recording for Reprise is that Reprise also had deals where they would distribute or produce albums for other labels. And some of those other labels are Sire, Straight Records, which was Frank Zappa's thing, Giant Records, Chrysalis Records, Brother Records, which was owned by the Beach Boys, and Bizarre, which was also, I believe, a Zappa label. So you would often see these releases that would be Sire / Reprise or Reprise / Chrysalis or whatever. And that's the way a lot of those artists got together. But a lot of these artists were signed straight to Reprise as well. Now, it's an interesting story, and it takes us back to the late 1950s when Frank Sinatra was coming near the end of his contract with Capitol Records. And Frank had started to grow a little bit agitated with Capitol Records. One reason was that he didn't feel like he was getting enough royalties from the label. He was getting a percentage, or close to a standard percentage, of 7% from his record sales, which were enormous at the time. And he was the number one artist on Capitol, pre-Beatles. And he felt like, number one, he wanted a little more money from all these records he was selling. And number two, he felt like he wanted a little more artistic control over what he was doing. And also, one of his main supporters, main champions at the label had recently left the label, and Frank felt like he didn't have anybody there. It was a guy named Alan Livingston who was in charge of creative decisions at the label, and he was really Frank's guy. They got along well, but he left to go to NBC, and Frank sort of felt like nobody was really looking out for him there. He didn't have a real champion in the company, and he really started to grow frustrated. And he originally wanted to find a record label for himself that he could put out his own stuff on. And he first tried to buy Verve Records, which was obviously a legendary label. And he came pretty close to doing that. But unfortunately, when it came down to it, he didn't quite have the financing, the money at that time to buy the label wholesale for what they wanted for it. So his next step was to start a label from scratch. And obviously that's a lot cheaper than going out and buying an existing label with all the employees and the contracts and everything else that comes with that. And so he did that. And one of the founding principles under Sinatra's new label that he had founded was that he wanted artists to have a lot of control. He wanted what he was going to get. And that meant that, that they could have complete and creative control of their work. Nobody, no producer, no label was going to tell them they had to go back and make a single or find out something was right or wrong. And they also owned the publishing rights to a lot of their records, these people. And that was a big deal. And that's where, obviously, all the money was that Frank wasn't getting. So here he goes. He starts a record label called Reprise Records. He did what you might expect Frank to do. He recruited some of his friends from the Rat Pack. He got Dean Martin and Sammy Davis to come over. He also was able to get Rosemary Clooney. He was the one who got his daughter, Nancy. He got Duke Ellington, and he got the comedian Red Fox as well. And so he, you know, assembled a pretty powerful lineup of people. What else is really interesting, I think, about this story, and we'll get into what the first record was here in a minute, is that this is around the time that Frank got the nickname Chairman of the Board, because he literally was the CEO of Reprise Records. So this is when, you know, he became that guy. Originally, the label had a plan. They had four different logos, depending on which genre of music they were putting out. There was a steamship for pop records, more mainstream stuff. You may have seen that. It's kind of a orangish brown with an old time, you know, Mississippi River steamboat on it. There was a cherub for the jazz labels records. There was an owl on the spoken word / comedy records. Must have been on the Red Fox. And then there was a picture of Frank on his albums. The chairman of the board right on the label there as it's spinning around. But all that's interesting, Patrick. Nice, nice, nice. But tell me, what was the very first release on Reprise Records? Well, it was a record by Frank. And the record was titled Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Came out in the year 1961. It is Reprise Records R1001. It was issued in mono originally. And I believe there was a stereo issue as well. And it came out all across the world. It came out on Reprise in Australia and Reprise in the UK. As the title might let you know, it's a upbeat kind of record. There's no ballads on this one. This is a ring-a-dang-dang Frank style. So why don't we hear the title cut just to confirm this?
Life is dull, it's nothing but one big lull. Then presto, you do a skull and find that you're reeling. She sighs and you're feeling like the toy on a string. And your heart goes ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. How could that funny face that seemed to be commonplace project you right into space without any warning? Don't know if it's morning, nighttime, winter, or spring. What's the difference? Ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. She takes your hand, this captivating creature, and like it's planned, you're in the phone book looking for the nearest preacher. Life is swell, You're off to that small hotel.
All right, there it is, Ring a Ding Ding, a song written by Sammy Kahn, I believe. Van Heusen, Kahn and Van Heusen? That was a songwriting team. Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen. Yeah, that's it. They wrote many songs for Frank. Other tracks on here, let's see. Be Careful, It's My Heart, written by Irving Berlin. The Gershwin Brothers wrote A Foggy Day. He does Cole Porter's In the Still of the Night. The Coffee Song, it's kind of funny. When I Take My Sugar to Tea. Let's Face the Music and Dance, You'd Be So Easy to Love, another Cole Porter track. You and the Night and the Music. And finally, an Irving Berlin track, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm. And one of the interesting things I think about this is that at the time Frank started Reprise, he was still under contract to Capitol. So he still owed them a couple of more albums. And right around this time, you know, Reprise, he would put one out on his new label, and the Capitol would go ahead and put one out to kind of compete with that. A similar album had come out. Sinatra's Swinging Session was released by Capitol just 2 months before Ring a Ding Ding came out. But Ring a Ding Ding still stayed on the charts for 35 weeks, and it was a top 10 record in the UK. It was reissued by Concord Records, and then you get into the whole series of things that happened to Reprise. It was later bought by Warner Brothers, and all kinds of different things happened with the label down the line. But it was reissued in 2011 to mark its 50th anniversary, and there, I think there are some extra tracks on there as well. So some of the players, Johnny Mandel arranged and conducted the orchestra. Felix Slatkin was the conductor as well. And of course you had Bud Shank on the flute. Who could forget Bud Shank? There it is. That's the story of Reprise Records. Reprise 1001, the very first one, Ring a Ding Ding, from 1961 by the chairman of the board. It was recorded in late December of 1960. And then just 2 months later, pretty much, it was out in the shops. All right. If you're a Sinatra fan, that's a really good one to check out. All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of What Was First. We're going to play out with a little more Frank, Old Blue Eyes. We'll get another track on the turntable. Maybe we'll hear You and the Night and the Music as we go out here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We've got an episode queued up for you tomorrow that I predict you're going to enjoy. It is another occasional series we do. We haven't done one of these in a while either, so I hope you enjoy that as we turn the calendar over to December. I am Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to thank all you guys for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Here is Frank Sinatra from Ring a Ding Ding, the first release on Reprise Records.
Night and the music fill me with flaming desire, setting my being completely on fire. You and the night and the music thrill me, but will we be one? After the night and the music are done, until the pale light of dawning and daylight, hearts will be throbbing, guitars. Morning may come without warning and take away the star. If we must live for the moment, love till the moment is through. After the night and the music die, will I have
Ring-a-ding-ding!